The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. So going over to the women's side, look, they're coming off a tough road loss at Indiana, right? Tough one. Down to the wire. I mean, they had Nas in foul trouble from the beginning of the game, right? They had to deal with some foul issues against Ohio State as well, Mr. Weintraub. But this was a contest that, you know, you compare the two Ohio State contests. The one that they lost by 4 in Columbus without Leah Brown. Nas goes for 50, and all the Ohio State fans are crowing, yeah, she scored 50 and you still lost. And I'm thinking to myself, wait, hold up. First of all, you are acting like Michigan, you're acting like 50 points is like this, you know, this thing that we shouldn't be jumping up and down about. What is that? But then you are also totally dismissing the second best player on the team, one of the best players in the Big Ten, was absent, and you only won by 4 points. Fast forward to yesterday, Mr. Weintraub. And Michigan controlled that contest. They controlled that game. It was a comfortable victory. And so I can't wait. Now, did Leah Brown, was it an efficient outing for her? No, it was not an amazingly efficient outing for her. She finished the game 4 for 13 from the field. 11 points and 7 boards. But her presence is my point, Ira. Her presence on the floor is a big deal. It's a difference-making presence for them. You saw that on the court with the game. It was 75-66. And Ira, I felt like, you know, once they got deep in the third quarter, I was surprised that it wound up being that close.
And it really only got that close, Sam, because of the fourth quarter where Michigan actually got outscored by 7 because it got tight is a relative word, right? But it was never really that tight. But it was the fourth quarter kind of made it a little closer. Because the first half, you know, Michigan had that, was it a 5-point lead or a 4-point lead? It was close, right? Michigan only had, 4 points in the end of the first quarter, was a 3-point lead at halftime. But Michigan blitzed the doors off of Ohio State in the third quarter. They were phenomenal in the third quarter. And that was the big difference in the game. But you're talking about the impact of Leah Brown. I think that it goes, it's not just her, because obviously that changes how you look at the floor. When you're defending Michigan, you defend Michigan differently when Leah is out there with Nas versus when there is no Leah out there with Nas. She changes the dynamic completely. But I think the biggest impact on the game was one of the better performances of the season by Amy Dilk. Played 30 minutes in the game. She had 13 points. She had, 6 rebounds. She had 6 assists, 3 steals, a little bit of everything. And she has not had maybe the progression from her sophomore to junior campaign that we had hoped. You know, maybe there were different reasons and, you know, lack of game action because of all the misses, et cetera, could be a part of it. I don't really know. But yesterday afternoon's game, if that's the Amy Dilk that we can see moving forward, that's going to really help this team as well. Because we know Nas is your number one. We know Leah is your number two. We know that generally Akenrae Johnson is your number three. And shocking, Sam, all three of those players were in double figures yesterday. But it's, who else? Where else is it going to come from? Is Haley Brown going to hit some big shots? And she had a big 3 in the game yesterday, but she's used to hitting a couple of those in a game, and the 3-point shooting is still slowly coming around.
Yeah.
But who's that other additional scorer? Who's going to help chip in? And for that matter, we talk about it on the men's side. College basketball, as good as it is to have, you know, and you want to have a dominant post player, it's great to have a Nas, it's great to have a Hunter, you need to have a point guard that can control the game. And it's still, that's how college basketball still runs through the point guard position. And with Amy playing, as she played a lot better yesterday, and they also put the ball in Leah's hands a lot, bringing the ball up, so she's kind of a secondary kind of point guard. But I think that's a big part of it, too, for this team moving forward, is you're going to get Nas doing Nas things. I mean, she didn't have a double-double, but she still led them with 27 points and 8 rebounds. It's a matter of everybody else and what else are they contributing to the game. We kind of know what Leah's going to be. You kind of know what a Kendry is going to be. The next one in that equation was Amy to become a little bit more of that, taking that next step forward during her junior campaign. And I saw it yesterday. I was really impressed by how she played, and I thought that was a big part of keeping that team cohesive and allowing for them to do what they did, which was particularly a pull away in that third quarter.
Yeah, you pointed out something that I think, if there is a concern coming off the pause, for me, it's the 3-point shooting. I mean, they have not been anything close to efficient from three since the pause. And, you know, I'd be interested to do a sort of a breakdown from the time when Leah Brown went out. What was that, the Northwestern game? Because she didn't play against Nebraska, right? So you go back to that Northwestern contest, and from that point on, to really look at their three-point shooting as a team. Now, mind you, Michigan has only lost two games this season. So even with the, you know, with the errant threes that we've seen, they still found ways to win. I mean, when you got the, you know, arguably the best players in the country, no question, unquestionably one of the best players in the country. I meant to say arguably the best player in the country, and unquestionably one of the best players in the country. You can work around some three-point inefficiency, but when you get into the postseason, you start to play the better teams routinely, they got to be able to knock down some J's, some jumpers, some threes. And so I really, and this is one of the things to kind of talk to Kim about is, you know, from the time Leah went out, what does their three-point percentage look like? Because I know what it looks like since the pause, Ira. They have not shot it well at all. And to their credit, they've still found ways to win. But that is something that they got to figure out a way to pick up, hopefully, here. And they have three games left in the regular season. Hopefully, they can start to find the mark before postseason play rolls around.
Sam, one of the hard parts, though, is to look back, and if you want to talk about basically what was the shooting like before Leah first went out, which was that you're talking about early back in, I mean, that's, you know, basically December and earlier, right? So it's the early games of the year. The competition's gotten tougher, too. And so I don't know how much you can really take out of what they did, you know, a month and a half or 2 months ago versus what they're doing now. The fact is they are a better shooting team than they're showing in this game. I mean,
argument. Right, so I went back.
Northwestern game, yep. The Michigan-Northwestern game, Michigan was 8-13 from long range, right? And now that's extreme maybe to the other side where you're not going to be over 50% per se. It was like watching the game yesterday on the men's side and they were 8-11 early and you're like, it's going to revert back a little bit to norm because 8-11 is exceptional. But they shot 8-13 in that Northwestern game. And so, I mean, that's what you kind of, because then she missed the next game. The very next game was the Nebraska game. Was the first game that she missed, and in that game, Michigan was 3-20. You know, and so I mean, it does feel like that is kind of the turning point when it came to, you know, shooting the basketball. Now it's hard to look at some of the games after that. I mean, even like four of 16 against Illinois, but those games turned into blowouts. So I don't know how you can gauge anything really out of the Illinois win, which was by 20 points, or the Wisconsin win, which was by 29 points. You know, before they had some of these things shut down. So it's they're better than they've shown. The question is, can they get back to that, you know, say this week or next week? And if they can, that's this team then taking that next step from being, you know, in that 12-16 range in the country and maybe being in the 8-12 range, you know, in this country. But they've got, you know, when it comes to, you know, where they should fit in the rankings. But they've got to start hitting those shots from long range.
Yeah, and if it gets in a running game, I mean, Michigan can run. It seems like to be any team. I mean, the way Nas gets up and down the floor, you know, Leah's great in the open court. I mean, they have size, they have versatility, the stamina is amazing. The only thing that you look at right now, and I think it was an apt observation that you pointed out about Amy Dilk having a really strong all around game. If they can get some, just a little better shooting the basketball, you talk about how deep they can go. You start to feel even more confident about them maybe making a run. But I tell you where my confidence is absolutely already. Michigan is without question one of the top 16 seeds in the country. Give me a break. Do we need to revisit that? I mean, it was a narrow defeat at Indiana, the Big Ten team that made it over them. Everyone understands Maryland. Did not understand Indiana. And I think the way Michigan has played coming off this pause makes that point. 3-1 coming off the pause, a 5-point defeat at number 14 Indiana before you come home and beat Ohio State comfortably. Number 15 Ohio State comfortably. A team that was responsible for your other loss without your second best player in their house.
I think that'll correct itself. I don't know if they're going to do another one of those exercises. I don't know if ESPN and the women's side of the bracket will do it again, because I think the men just do the one, right? And we saw it, so we kind of knew where they were, you know, a month out of the tournament. I don't know if they'll do it again, but even on the broadcast yesterday, they said, I'm paraphrasing, but it's our understanding that with a win today, Michigan's going to move up into the top, because they were like number seven, you know, they were right the next team out, like number 17 or whatever, like the first team not in the top, but they were listed as a five seed. And this goes back to what you and I also talked about last week, which is, now they better not get it wrong and have them as a five versus a four or a four versus a three,
right,
and get it right.
Right.
But of all the years, if you're going to be a five versus a four, if you are a borderline team, and Michigan should be ahead of that, but if you are in that 16-17 range and it's borderline, this is the year to get on the wrong end of that one and be a five seed versus a four seed, because you're playing in Texas anyway. Next year, if they give you the wrong seed and give you a five seed versus a four seed, you have to go play at the four seed's gym as opposed to hosting the regionals, the sub-regional at your place. So that it would make a much bigger difference in other years. But I do think, Sam, that when they all is said and done, and starting even this week, I believe that when you look at women bracketologies, Michigan's going to be back on the top four seed lines. And as long as there's only three games left in the regular season, so if you can maintain, you should be fine. I do think they may end up adding one more game because they have a gap for a Sunday to Friday or a Sunday to Saturday gap, and they can put in a Tuesday or a Wednesday game and play Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday or something like that. So they might even get in one more game before they then head down to Indy for the Big Ten women's basketball tournament. But now's the time to find the shots. Now's the time to solidify what you're doing. And, I mean, Michigan's defense, both men and women, defense travels. They do an excellent job of communicating on the defensive end of the floor. And it's just a matter of, for the women, can the shots start to fall? And if the outside shots are falling, that's the next step of it, right, for this team. But it was a good win yesterday. Needless to say, it was a good win yesterday, and it capped really, 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 can I say really again, fun 3 hours and change of watching Michigan play Ohio State in basketball.
Absolutely. And, it was a split in hockey, but they finished strong, 6-0. So they added to it as well. We got to get to a break. When we come back on the other side, we will catch up with the mayor of Michigan Twitter talking about Scott Bell. Yeah, the Buckeyes, they were talking. Buckeyes are funny, man. They're trying to make up recruiting violations and everything, dude. but you know what? I will say this. They are giving Michigan credit for this. It's like, look, hey, they can't even hate on that effort that Michigan just put forth. That was an outstanding win by an outstanding team. Talk to Scott Bell about it on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050. WTK, the ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports, Ann Arbor, Cumulus Station.